Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for October 26th, 2010. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm speaking with Sonia Vermeeren, a researcher at the Baberham Institute in Cambridge, England. A new study from her group identifies ARAP3, which is a GTPase activating protein, as acting downstream of PI3 kinase during angiogenesis in the developing mouse embryo. Vasculogenesis and angiogenesis are the processes by which the vascular system is formed, shaped, remodeled, and repaired. Vasculogenesis is the generation of new vessels and requires the specification of endothelial cells from a population of precursors. In contrast, angiogenesis is the growth of new vessels by sprouting from or splitting of existing vessels, and so involves the proliferation of existing endothelial cells, but no de novo specification of those cells. Vasculogenesis and angiogenesis both occur during embryonic development to create the vascular system, and angiogenesis also occurs in adults in response to injury, to deliver blood to oxygen-starved tissues, and in some pathological situations. Dr. Vermeeren joined me on the phone from her lab in Cambridge. Welcome, Dr. Vermeeren.
Hello.
Angiogenesis occurs during both embryonic development and in adults. Does angiogenesis differ in these two contexts? Is it regulated by the same molecules?
Physiological angiogenesis could occur in development or in the adult. So obviously in development, during embryonic development, and in the adult, in various circumstances, say, for reproduction, in ovulation, or during the growth of the placenta, or for wound healing. And those processes are really very similar, and in both cases, new vessels form from pre-existing vessels. And of course, this needs to be a very tightly coordinated process, including things like cell division, differentiation, migration, and of course, remodeling also. And this will then build a very tight and well-organized vascular tree. Now, why does all of this happen? Well, to put it really simply, there is hypoxia, which is lack of oxygen, and that causes the increased production of growth factors such as VEGF, and that then promotes angiogenesis, and that causes signaling through, for example, the VEGF receptor, and that then feeds into very many pathways. One of these is a PI3 kinase signaling pathway. Now, there are several PI3 kinases, and one of these is important for angiogenesis, and that is agonist-activated PI3 kinase alpha. Now, agonist-activated PI3 kinase is produced phosphatidyl inositol 3,4,5 trisphosphate, or short PIP3. And that is the lipid's second messenger, and is formed in fast peak, fast kinetics at the plasma membrane, and it causes the recruitment and the activation of PIP3 binding proteins, the PI3 kinase effectors. There are actually quite a lot of those. We know around 50 PI3 kinase effectors, but only very few of them are really well understood to date.
Obviously, angiogenesis occurs in adults after injury to rebuild blood vessels that are damaged by some sort of physical injury. But what sorts of other pathological conditions can lead to angiogenesis in adults?
So there are lots of pathological situations which could induce angiogenesis. And I think really it would be a situation where there might be too much VEGF or other pro-angiogenic growth factors being produced, and that would then lead to excessive angiogenesis. One example might be age-related macular degeneration, short AMD, which is a cause of irreversible severe loss of vision in the elderly. And it's caused by neovascularization of the macular zone, the part of the eye which is required for the very high-resolution vision. This then causes obstruction of this part and loss of vision. An alternative example would be in cancer, where cancer cells are producing excessive growth factors, and that then causes increased angiogenesis. This is required for the new tumor cells to receive enough oxygen and nutrients. I think that's actually a bit of a vicious circle. So I told you that the increased growth factors from the cancer cells cause the pathological angiogenesis. Now, this pathological angiogenesis actually leads to quite poorly formed vessels where there is too much stimulation, and so those vessels want to sprout too much, and this then interferes with their setup, and they're not as tight as they should be. They become a little bit leaky, and that then causes hypoxia in the tumor. And this then causes two things. It causes increased production of angiogenesis promoting growth factors, which renews that vicious circus, but it also causes a tendency of the cancer cells to metastasize in order to leave the hypoxic site. And that then, of course, aggravates the whole situation.
In this study, you identified AREP3, which is a PI3 kinase effector, as required for angiogenesis during development. How did you identify this molecule?
We found AREP3 a few years ago in a screen for PIP3 binding proteins when it wasn't yet known whether there would be one or several PI3 kinase effectors. And so we took PIP3 covalently coupled to beads and went fishing. And we identified lots of PI3 kinase effector, which we called by the alphabet. We got the whole alphabet full from A to Z. AREP3 was at the time a novel protein. And I wanted to find out what its physiological function might be. And so generated a knockout mouse. It was embryonically lethal due to a severe angiogenesis defect, and this was the beginning of this current paper.
How is AREP3 required for angiogenesis? Is it required for only certain aspects of angiogenesis, or is it generally required?
There are three main processes required for angiogenesis. These are sprouting angiogenesis, which we know quite a lot about, interception, which is splitting angiogenesis. That is very, very clear from evidence in the tissue, but the mechanism is still very ununderstood. And there is pruning also. We could see very clear evidence of interception in embryos lacking AREP3, so that's not affected. Sprouting angiogenesis, however, was very severely affected in the embryos, in the hindbrains, and in Alantois explants that we carried out. We haven't yet been able to address the pruning, so we haven't come to a firm conclusion on that one.
Is AREP3 also required for vasculogenesis?
No, we don't think so. So we've seen the dorsal aorta in the embryos, and we've carried out explants of para-aortic splanchnum pleural region, or short PSP, which is the bit of the embryo that would later turn into the aorta, the gonads, and the kidney. And when you do these explants, you have got a nice setup to look at vasculogenesis, angiogenesis, and hematopoiesis. And when we did this, we could see the formation of a vascular bed was not affected at all, which is vasculogenesis. But then the formation of the vascular network that follows on, which is angiogenesis, was severely affected. So we think it's really only required for angiogenesis.
How about in the adult? Is AREP3 required for angiogenesis in the adult following injury?
That's a very interesting question, and we'd like to know the answer to that one.
So would it be feasible to try to disable AREP3 as a potential therapy for pathological angiogenesis in humans, for example, in AMD?
That's an interesting question, too. So at the moment, we don't know any inhibitor for AREP3, and I'm not aware of any inhibitor screens that have been carried out. But, of course, this is a protein that hasn't been well known for a long time, and there is not very much in terms of publications on it yet. AREP3 doesn't have a classical ATP binding site like you may find in kinases that would be very druggable, but it does bind PIP3 in a very specific fashion, and it might be possible to compete with PIP3 binding, and that would render it catalytically dead. But as I say, I'm not aware of anybody who's looked for that yet. So this is something that's for the future.
Well, thank you, Dr. Vermeeren.
Thanks ever so much for giving me the opportunity to speak about our work. And if I may also use this opportunity to say that without the funding from the Medical Research Council and the Biological Sciences and Biotechnology Research Council UK, this would not have been possible. Thanks.
That was Sonja Vermeeren, senior author of a research article published in the October 26th issue of Science Signaling. That article is by Gambardella and colleagues, and it's titled PI3 Kinase Signaling Through the Dual GTPase Activating Protein AREP3 is Essential for Developmental Angiogenesis. And that wraps up the Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. The show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.